I often have a little grumble to myself when you watch the BBC, who do some magnificent programs on the natural world. I love watching them. They always talk about Mother. No such thing. Father God. And we need to affirm that. We have a Father who has created and does all things well. Well, it's good to be with you, and I've chosen those two passages of Scripture, Luke 11 and Luke 18. If you've got a Bible and you've got it open in front of you, we're going to look at those two stories that Jesus told. The title of my talk this morning is Audacious Prayer. And I'll say more about that in a moment. But if you're someone like me, likes to have a verse to sort of focus on and center on and later after church to look at during the week, it's in chapter 18 and verse 1. Jesus told his disciples a parable, two parables, to show them they should always pray and not give up hope. A little bit of background. These two parables have become very real for me and for my wife Ruth in the last few weeks. Two reasons mainly. One is our church that we're members of, Testwood Baptist. Many of you know Testwood, our pastor Matt Huckle. This year, our verse for the year is from 1 Thessalonians, and it's simply pray continually. And so this year for us as a church, 2026, it's a year with a prayer focus. So we've been doing opportunities for to sign up and do a day of prayer and fasting. This week, starting tonight, we begin a 24/7, that's round-the-clock prayer. We've had prayer gatherings together, encouragement to pray personally. There's been a real emphasis on prayer this year. That's been in the background of our experience, our thinking. And then a few months ago, we had a real crisis in our family. Without going into all the detail, our eldest son, Chris, is quite seriously ill with a life-limiting disease. He has nearly completely lost his sight. He's very limited in what he can do. And in the provision of the Lord, he found a flat, was able to live in that flat. And then, just a few months ago, the landlord said, we're going to have to sell. Family reason. And we thought, well, what are we going to do? This flat is perfect. It meets Chris's needs. Great location. It's close by to where his former wife and his children live and see them. And it just all collapsed. And then one of our sons, one of his brothers, said to Ruth and I think we need to start praying audacious prayers. And we did. And you know, within the matter of a few weeks, a Christian trust came forward and said, we will buy that flat. And Chris can live in there for the rent he's been paying. Now, I share that story with you. Sounds a bit bland, but actually for us, it was literally life-changing. And that's the background to what I want to share today. Two stories with a central message. Story number one that Jesus told is about a cheeky friend, and the second one's about a crooked judge. But there's a single message in both. Be audacious and persistent in our prayers. Let's look at Luke 11 and just get the background to the cheeky friend story. Jesus is praying in verse 1, and the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. We can understand that, can't we? They watched Jesus, they saw the miracles he performed, they heard the amazing teaching that came from his lips, and they saw that prayer was the powerhouse of what he did. And so they said, Lord, we want to pray like that. Teach us how to pray. What does Jesus do? Verse 2, he gives them and us what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven. It shouldn't really be called the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples. And he gave it to us. Interesting, isn't it? Because it's actually very simple in its structure and yet very profound in what we're asking. Many of you, perhaps like me, pray it every day. And as I pray it each day, I try and pause and reflect, what do I mean in asking that of the Lord? And then he comes to the friend, the cheeky next door neighbor, and then he rounds it off in verse 9 onwards and says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who seek? And wrapped around that, in verse 9, Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. It's a lovely little vignette all about prayer. But what about this cheeky friend? What is that about? Well, the cheeky friend has got a guest who's come, and it's midnight, and he's run out of bread. So what does he do? He knocks up the neighbor next door. And he said, can you give me something that I can put in front of my guest? And what I want you to notice is, verse 8, it's not friendship that wins the day. It's not the man saying, okay, I'll give to you, but you owe me one. He's already settled down. His family are in bed. Jesus says, because of the man's shameless audacity, he will give him what he requests. What does that word mean? It means to be bold, to be brazen, to be persistent, and to ignore the fact that you're being rude. You break the rules. In Yiddish, it's called chutzpah. We call it brass neck. And you've met people like that, haven't you? That just plow in there, ignore all the nice. So why is Jesus saying that? He's saying when you're praying, bold. When you're praying, come to God, not with your cap in your hand and mumbling under your breath. Come confident, with hope and with faith. Some of you will know that famous verse in Hebrews 4:16. Great verse, by the way, to read before you pray or lead others in prayer. This is what it says. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we ask the question, where can we go? Throne of grace. Why can we go? Because of Jesus. When can we go? In time of need. How can we go? With confidence. And what can we expect? Mercy, grace to help us in our time of need. Friends, this is in the Bible. This is in God's holy book. This isn't some pet talk that comes from an author who's written a book, a self-help book. But this is God in his word saying to us, come. I invite you to come, pray with boldness and persistence. What about the second story in Luke 18? This one actually makes me chuckle. The one about the crooked judge. I love the way Jesus said, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. He was well and truly bent. And there was a pushy widow. And she wanted justice. We're not told what the issue was, but she would not go away. She plagued this man day and night. She wanted justice. She kept on and on and on about it. And I didn't notice until I was preparing this message, verse 5, the judge actually says, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me. He was a coward. He basically says, she's driving me around the bend, but I can see the temperature's going up. Interesting, by the way, if Jesus hadn't told that story, painting that picture with the likeness of God. Now, he's not saying God's like that, a reluctant judge, but it's a risky story. Jesus told it. And the key point that Jesus makes in verse 7 is, will not God bring about justice to his chosen one? Cry out to him day and night. Two stories that say to us single message, be audacious and persistent in our prayers. I can hear your question. Some of you are sitting there saying, okay, why hasn't God answered my prayer? There. Rachel knows, I know, as a pastor, there are times when I sit with people who said, I've prayed about this. I've prayed about this member of my family. I've prayed about this issue for many, many years. God hasn't answered. Why? One of the great mysteries of our faith. Can I remind you that there are three answers to prayer, three possible answers? Yes, we all like that one. No, and wait. And no is an answer to prayer. And it could be that we're asking for something and God says, I've actually got something better. You had that experience in your life when the Lord's closed the door, and then looking back, you think, oh, I'm glad the Lord closed that door. Because if he'd given me what I was asking for, it would have robbed me of this. C.S. Lewis said, we travel with our backs to the engine of the old steam train. If we travel with our backs to the engine, it's looking behind where we've come from. We realize what God has been doing in our lives. There are lots of stories told about Alexander the Great. No doubt many of them are myths, legends. But there's one particular story about one of his long-serving generals who approached Alexander and he asked for financial help, because his daughter was getting married. Alexander said, fine, okay, go and see the treasurer. And the treasurer was absolutely shocked. Most treasurers are, aren't they? Their job description. Because he felt the general was asking for an exorbitant amount. He was wanting to fund the most lavish wedding ever. And he went to Alexander and said, do you know what this man is asking for? He's taking advantage. And apparently, Alexander responded to the request by saying, I want you to give him what he wants, because he honors me with two compliments. He believes I'm rich enough to afford it, generous enough to grant it. I don't know whether it's true, but I hope it is. John Newton, many of you know, the great hymn writer. He was a vicar in a place called Olney in Northamptonshire. And when he was preaching, he would write every week a hymn that would accompany his sermon. Now, Rachel, I don't know about you. I find it hard enough getting a sermon together. But to write a hymn, and he wrote it because He did. He must have had a wife behind him to help. But he wrote it because many of the people in his congregation were very humble laborers. And he wanted them to be able to remember the Bible story, the passage that had been preached, and rather like we do with children. We get them to make crafts or draw pictures. And so every single week, that was his task. And many of those hymns have survived. And there's one in particular that I think is spot on as we think about being audacious and persistent in our prayers. And it comes, he was preaching on the passage in 1 Kings where God comes to Solomon after he's been made king and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Remember that story? Solomon says, "I want wisdom, Lord." And God says to him, "You didn't ask for wealth, you didn't ask for power, but I'm going to grant those two to you anyway. And I'll give you the wisdom that you long for." And this is the hymn that Newton wrote to go along with that sermon. Now, I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to quote all of it. But I'm going to quote some of it. And some of you will know the first line. "Come, my soul, thy suit prepare." Not three-piece suit, but your petition. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. This is the verse that I love. "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace, power are such. None can ever ask." What a powerful reminder that is. Bold the way that we pray. I don't know what's happening in your life at the moment. I don't know what your personal prayers contain. I know one thing, though. Jesus is saying, be audacious. Be persistent in your prayers. I was at an induction service yesterday afternoon in Hertfordshire. One of our students was one of our former students, inducted as pastor of a church there. And while I was sitting, getting ready to take part in the service, various people were standing up and talking about wonderful answers to prayer, the way this church had been led to appoint this guy, someone from his previous church talking about the wonderful things that God had done in that fellowship in response to prayers of God's people. And as I sat there, partly in the back of my mind, I was thinking about this message today. It suddenly dawned on me that many of us don't pray audacious prayers because we're too comfortable. Can I say that? Tell you what I mean. You imagine if we started to pray audacious. "Lord, we want this building filled, packed. We want our Christmas outreach to bring so many people in, we'll run out of chairs. We want to be able to go to 2 services on a Sunday. We want to have so many new people who are wanting to know about the Christian faith. We're going to have to rearrange our diary. Help them." A bit like the lady who said to the pastor, "I don't like all these new people coming to church. Because I can't sit where I normally sit." See what I mean? Praying audacious prayers, persistent prayers, we need to be serious. We need to be saying, "Lord, we want to follow you, but most of all, we want to be in touch with what you're doing in our community. Please guide us in our prayers." Many of you know William Carey, the name William Carey, the shoemaker from Northamptonshire who went over to India with a passion to reach the Indian people with the gospel. A few years ago, Ruth and I went to visit Serampore, where he had his church, where he's buried. And there, just at the back of the pulpit where Carey preached, is the famous motto, the motto that he made famous, inscribed in wood: expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And the gentleman that showed us around said, and that's the famous statement, yeah, said, look carefully. The person who did the inscription got it the wrong way around. And it says, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. Then he said, actually, those two go together. No matter which way round you put them, they're exactly the same. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. What's God saying to us today about audacious? Let's pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that it comes to us today and reminds us that prayer is this wonderful gift that you've given. That we don't have to use special words. We don't have to be in a particular building or adopt a particular posture. But you ask us to come boldly and to pray persistently, believing that you are good and that you want to bring blessing, not just in our lives, but in the lives of the community around us, the family that we're part of. So today, Lord, just like the disciples 2,000 years ago said to you, Lord, teach us how to pray. That's our prayer today. Amen.